salary is the drug they give you when they want you to forget about your dreams. Because it's very easy to stay in that world where somebody is mitigating your risk. You just have to perform certain tasks, do them well for a third of your day, and they will feed you a salary.
You're now tuned to another episode of Being Yeah for God Live right here on Discover Music Channel by Play Man Side today. And with me, I've got my better half.
DJ True, what the deal is?
All right. So today we're going to talk about the business of cannabis and the changing laws that we face in the U.S. Because, of course, we're talking predominantly in the U.S. Now, we have all of these weed culture podcasts that talk about all of the different strains and all of these other things. But did you know that weed is still considered on a federal level illegal? We're going to get more into that. But right now, I want to talk about 420. As we get ready for April 20th, 2024, as we step into that, I want to tell you a little bit about where that culture came from or where that term came from. 420 is a cannabis culture slang for marijuana and hashish consumption, especially smoking around the time 4:20 p.m. or 1620 hours. It also refers to cannabis-oriented celebration that takes place annually on April 20th in the U.S. and Canada. The origins. In 1971, five high school students in San Rafael, California, used the term 420 in connection to a plan to search for an abandoned cannabis crop based on a treasure map made by the grower, calling themselves the Waldos because their typical hangout spot was a wall outside of the school. So they were called the Waldos. Okay. The five students, Steve, Dave, Jeffrey, Larry, and Mark, designated the Lewis Pasture statue on the grounds of San Rafael High School as their meeting place and 4:20 p.m. as their meeting time. The Waldos referred to the plan with the phrase 420 Lewis. After several failed attempts to find the crop, the group eventually shortened the phrase to 420, which ultimately evolved into a code word for teens to refer to consuming cannabis. Now, the term 420 was popularized by High Times in a story, in a polarized story that was published. The first High Times mention of 420 smoking and 420 holiday appeared May 1991, which attributed to the origin of the term to a police code. This and other origin stories became common. The connection to the Waldos appeared in December 1998. Hager attributed the early spread of the phrase to the Grateful Dead after the Waldos remix became a roadie for the Grateful Dead's bassist, Phil Leesh, and called for 4:20 p.m. to be socially accepted as a time of the day to consume cannabis. Another San Rafael group claimed to have originated the term before the Waldos. However, that is where the term came from. Now, we stated that the international observation of 420 or April 20th is become an international counterculture holiday based on the celebration and consumption of cannabis. Events typically advocate for cannabis liberalization and legalization. Vivian McPeak, a founder of the Seattle Hemp Fest, SESA 420 is half celebration and half call to action. Paul Breach calls the global movement and suggests that one cannot stop the events like these. Many marijuana users protest in civil disobedience by gathering in public to smoke at 4:20 p.m. As marijuana continues to be decriminalized and legalized around the world, cannabis activist Steve Diego notes that even if our activist work were complete, 4:20 morphs from a statement of request to conscious celebration to an acceptance, a celebration of victory, a celebration of amazing connection with this plant will always be worthy of celebration. And that is it here. So now, Trill, I want you to talk about the legalization in North America and some of the concerns that people may have when it comes to cannabis use in their states, because cannabis use is kind of tricky.
Very much it is.
Because the reality is, while we know that cannabis is legal, like we see cannabis legal in states, right?
Right, right.
We don't know what the actual rules are because cannabis is illegal on a federal level. However, quite a few states have legalized it. Some have decriminalized it. And others are just like, nah, you're not even coming here. You're not even thinking about a blunt here. The other part is if you're traveling, crossing state lines can be tricky. So let's talk about all of that. Like, let's go into state legislation and how that has changed. Because I remember, you know, back in the 90s, well, that sounds so long now, but back in the 90s, right? It was like, yeah, you were catching cases off of marijuana possession.
An ounce of that too.
Right.
Not a whole lot. You was catching a whole case off of that. All right, let's start off in Florida. We at right now. If you have a marijuana medical card, you cannot have a concealed weapon license. But now that Dum Dum got rid of the concealed weapon license, that's kind of tricky. So let's look at these state laws here. Mm-hmm. For Florida. All right, Florida is a mixed state. The Florida Supreme Court, in a 5-2 decision, has decided that a cannabis legalization ballot initiative will go before voters in the November 2024 election. The legalization campaign Smart and Safe Florida collected over 900,000 votes, valid signatures, in their allotted time, more than enough to qualify for the ballot. If passed, the initiative, which is an amendment to Florida Constitution, will go into effect 6 months later. It will allow operating medical cannabis dispensaries to sell cannabis to adults over the age of 21, adults 21 plus to possess 1 ounce of cannabis flower and 5 grams of concentrated, and the legalization to issue more licenses if they so choose. Florida is one of the only 19 states that continues to impose jail time.
Oh, wow.
For simple possession of cannabis.
Wow, okay. So, in the United States, cannabis is legal in 38 of the 50 states for medical use and 24 states for recreational use.
Right.
At the federal level, cannabis is classified as a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substance Act, determined to have a high potential for abuse and no accepted medical use, prohibiting its use for any purpose. Despite the prohibition, federal law is generally not enforced against the possession, cultivation, or interstate in transit state distribution of cannabis in states where such activities have been legalized. The medical use of cannabis is legal with a medical recommendation in 38 states. 4 out of 5 permanently inhabited U.S. territories and the Federal District of Columbia. 10 other states have laws that limit the psychoactive component, THC, for the purpose of allowing access to products rich in CBD, a non-intoxicating component of cannabis.
All right, so 42,153 people were arrested for misdemeanors.
Shit.
On cannabis possession in Florida in 2017. 42,000 people.
Okay.
That's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah, but another 7 states have decriminalized its use. Commercial distribution has been legalized in all jurisdictions where possession has been legalized, except for Virginia and D.C. Personal cultivation and recreational use is allowed in all of these jurisdictions except for Delaware, Illinois, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
Cannabinoid drugs, which have received approval from the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, for prescription use for non-prescription use products with less than 0.3% delta 9 THC containing CBC, delta 8 THC, and other naturally occurring cannabinoids derived from hemp, cannabis containing less than 0.3% are legal and unregulated at the federal level, but legality and enforcement vary by states. So again,
that's crazy. So let's go into the current cannabis law in Florida.
Okay.
Possession of small amounts is illegal. Possession of 20 grams or less of cannabis is a misdemeanor punishable by a maximum sentence of 1 year imprisonment and a maximum fine of $1,000. Possession of more than 20 grams of cannabis is a felony punishable by a maximum sentence of 5 years imprisonment and a maximum fine of $5,000.
However.
Yeah.
But again, this conversation goes back to the fact that it is kind of confusing, you know, when you're looking at it, because it says that Florida is a mixed state. It is legal for medicinal use, but it has not been decriminalized.
No.
So you can use it.
But don't get caught with it.
Right.
All right. So medical marijuana is permitted. An individual may register as a medical marijuana patient if his or her doctor certifies that the individual suffers from one or more of the following conditions. Please hold your pants on this one. You got to have cancer, epilepsy, glaucoma. I'm still trying to figure where this one comes in at. HIV/AIDS. Crohn's disease, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis. ALS, post-traumatic stress disorder.
There you go. I need it for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Everybody need it for that.
Being black in America is traumatic.
And chronic non-maligenic pain caused by qualifying medical condition or that originates from a qualifying medical condition and proceeds beyond the usual course of that qualifying medical condition.
Okay.
To get your card, you got to be a permanent seasonal resident of Florida.
Okay.
And you got to enter into the medical marijuana registry.
You know, anything that requires me being tracked, I'm good on. Like, I ain't into that, though. I just ain't into that. So we know that we understand that in 38 of the states, it is legal for medicinal use, and 24 is legal for recreational use. The problem then arises, right?
Right.
When you are attempting to make people aware of your dispensaries, one of the biggest problems that growers have had or dispensaries have had, while the product is legal in the states that they operate, it's hard for them to get banking because it's illegal on the federal level. So a lot of them are cash heavy, which again causes another type of concern. And they're often targeted. Additionally, they're taxed heavily.
Yes.
Now, when, America, the government,
and they want theirs up top.
They not giving you nothing. They not legalizing nothing. If they can't figure out, listen, if they could have figured out how they could make money off of crack cocaine, they would have been selling that. We would have been having little crack cocaine bottles inside Walmart.
Not inside Walmart. They would have had a crack dispensary.
Yeah, but you would be able to get it in Walmart and the gas station.
True.
Because, I mean, shoes. Tobacco, they had Coke and Coca-Cola.
They had.
I said passport.
Keyword.
Yeah.
Had.
But they were more lenient. They were more lenient with drugs than that. It was like, hey, everybody is selling. I said that to say that the taxation on those products, and you said it's a whopping 71%.
Yeah, 70%.
Right, 70%. Tax
on top of your state and local taxes.
Right. Oh, on top of the state and local taxes.
Yeah, on top of the state and local taxes. So you're getting taxed three times, not two, three.
So now you wonder why, you know, you wonder why your dimes are smaller than they used to be, your nickels shoes.
That's why they went to the...
Your nickels is dust.
That's why they went to the... To the little brown paper bag, little small baggies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they couldn't afford the plastic ones now.
Well, like I said, I've never been interested in the consumption of it. My mother and father, they smoked, but...
Special cigarettes.
My mother called it Cuban incense. I had no idea until one of my friends came over and was like, no, that's marijuana. I was like, no, that's Cuban incense. I was like, you're mistaken. No, my mother doesn't do drugs. It's Cuban incense. I was like, drugs are bad.
All right. That's crazy. Let's go to your state, Georgia, which is legal status mixed.
Right.
Medicinal CBD oil only. Decriminalized? No. Let's go to the state laws.
Now, in Georgia, it is illegal. It's decriminalized in cities of Atlanta, Clarkson, Forest Park, Savannah, South Fulton, Statesboro, Incorporated Fulton County, Macon, and Bibby County. Other than that, yeah. It's illegal. But it's decriminalized, right? However, you can use it for medicinal purposes, and it has to be CBC oil, less than 5% THC. Cultivation is illegal. Misdemeanor possession of 1 ounce or less can be punished by a fine up to $1,000 or 12 months in jail. It's a felony for anyone to possess more than 1 ounce, manufacture, deliver, distribute, dispense, administer, purchase, sell, or possess with intent to distribute marijuana. And it is punishable by imprisonment for no less than 1 year or more than 10 years. Y'all bugging.
Yeah, it is bugging. All right, so the first offense, possession for 1 ounce or less of cannabis, carries a maximum penalty of up to 1 year of imprisonment, and more than 40,000 Georgians are arrested every year for marijuana possession. Just for 1 ounce.
Listen.
You know how small an ounce is?
I know how small an ounce is.
And black Georgians are 3 times more likely than whites to be arrested for marijuana possession.
Which is crazy.
Crazy ain't the word. Oh my goodness.
White people smoke plenty of marijuana.
Yep.
They like robots. They like marijuana is like diesel for white folks. Dead ass. Marijuana run monster trucks. You know what I mean?
But I'm still trying to figure out how you pull medical cannabis oil with up to 5% THC. So that means you're growing it and then trying to cipher out the THC out of it.
Well,
why grow it?
The whole point is that it's illegal. What are you importing it? And then again, transportation across state lines is also questionable. One of the biggest concerns, right? Again, and I go back to the business aspect of cannabis because like that's what I do. I believe in marketing, right? So if you have a product, how do you get people to know about it? Cannabis brands can't get billboards or TV commercials. They don't have radio commercials. And many traditional media advertising avenues off limits. Many social media platforms also have strict policies on paid advertising options in short supply. And visual depiction of the products are often a no-go. So how, as a dispensary, a grower, how do you get the word out? Is this only a subculture-based product? How do people find out about the places?
I guess you got to go door to door or something like that.
I got drip for sale.
That's what I'm thinking.
For sale.
Okay. If you're a grower, and I need you to listen to this one right here. If you're a grower in Georgia, Hope Acts has 6 producers are allowed to cultivate medical cannabis preparations in Georgia. In November 2023, the commission issued 4 more licenses to Class 2 cultivators for a total of the 6 licenses totaled in the states. In that state. So you got to have 6 licenses to grow medical marijuana.
I wonder what the cost of these licenses are.
I don't know, but you got to have 6 of them? You know how crazy the cost of that's going to be? And then you have 30.
Yeah, but hold on. The legal cannabis market is booming, right?
Yeah.
With a global sale projected
26 billion.
No, $55 billion by 2027, with a slew of the U.S. states adopting medical and recreational legalization in recent years has opened the cannabis industry to reach these exceeding heights. Navigating cannabis marketing and landscape can still be challenged for growers, brands, and dispensaries. Sometimes a confusing patchwork of federal and state regulations determine how and where cannabis can be marketed. As a result, cannabis brands can forget about the commercials, the TVs, the billboards, social media, etc. But fear not, while cannabis marketing currently requires pivoting away from conventional tactics, as well as a fighting lingering stigma surrounding cannabis, these challenges can actually open up spaces for new creative marketing solutions. So if you are a dispensary, you have to be more creative in the way that you're marketing your product. We met some interesting gentlemen and in a legal state.
You talk about my boys?
In a legal state. We met them in a legal state. One of the green states, right?
Right.
And they had great signage. One of the things that they said that they do is they have booths at 420 friendly activities, because that's the only way. So basically they're doing grassroots marketing for the most part, right?
Right.
Because selling on multiple, on the traditional platforms are tricky.
Very much so. You cannot put it on Facebook, it's Graham. Talk about you got drip for sale. But I give it to them. They do.
But which is why it now makes sense why the packaging is so colorful and appealing, because you have to get people's attention. The other part is it's so colorful and appealing, it will make you pay attention, but it's mandatory that you have, you know, again, you can't misguide your consumers. Like, right. They need to know what they're purchasing. You can't put out a packaging saying soda and then, you know, or it looks like soda, and then when you get it, it's like, oh, this is not caramelized. So- this is caramelized THC or CBD. You know what I mean?
Right.
But so you definitely have to be very open about what it is that you're producing.
That is.
And I think that's where the problem lies.
But that was real. That's real crazy though. Talking about my boys, them. They packaging was real good. I'm not going to lie.
Right. So we've been talking about it in as much as we talk about the legal side of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about the culture of cannabis. Now, again, like I said, I don't smoke, and there's a couple of reasons why I don't smoke. One,
please do explain.
I don't believe in the money that I spend on this money that I would spend on marijuana or any type of recreational drug. I can take that same money and invest it into my business or my music. So I've always been under the impression that if I'm going to spend an additional $10 or $15, I could use that for storage for my digital products. I can use it to go towards marketing for my business. Like I've always been under that impression. The other thing is, I can't roll a blunt. I've tried. And it just fall down. It looked like a limp thing. So after failing using my mother's marijuana or my father's dope, because I'm definitely not buying it. And I trust them. Like, that's the other thing. Like, my mom and pops is not going to smoke no dirt weed. You know what I mean?
Right.
I know that they know the quality. Me trying to figure out in this, no, I don't know what it is. I'm not interested. That's not my thing. I into music. If you ask me about hip hop, you ask me about soca, you ask me about thing, I could tell you. But for me to tell you, oh, this is the compound, I don't know. And with my parents now deceased, I will not be smoking unless I'm smoking with somebody that is a chemist, the compound.
I'm not no chemist, but I know what I look for and I know what smells good. You can't smoke behind everybody either.
Okay, listen.
You cannot smoke behind everybody.
I'm gonna let you know that
right now.
I was offered something, right? At a family member's house. And let me tell you, as long as I know myself, that person has been an addict.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Is that person an addict? That means that person is adding extra stuff to the weed.
It didn't matter what it was, because I know from I was 8 years old, this person was an addict. So me, at however old I am now, I don't care. I only remember this person in one way. No, child, when they ask me, I say, oh, no, thank you.
Now, see, I know this is very, 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 very.
If it ain't my mommy and daddy, I ain't doing it. I can tell you that.
I'm going to tell you right now. D.C., do not smoke behind nobody in D.C. They'll roll their weed up. Put it in embalming fluid.
What?
Yes, they'll lace it with embalming fluid, and they call it Love Boat. Do not. I repeat. Do not.
So one of my biggest concerns with the readily availability of cannabis in this era is that, just like our food, these products are genetically modified.
Very much
so. We're not getting. My mom and dad, they
got the raw.
No, they grew it. They grew it in their yard.
They got the raw.
So I knew where that was coming from. Like I could go under the house or in the bush and pick it off of the thing, and then, you know, like get in trouble. But but I knew where it was coming from. Like, that stuff was coming out of the ground. I never had to worry. You know what I mean?
Right. That's like,
I don't like the I've never been interested, just because, again, I grew up in New York City. And I grew up in New York City during the rise of the crack era. Cocaine was rampant and heroin was a thing. So I don't trust anybody with any type of drugs, because as good as marijuana is in its natural and raw form, people are always chasing that last high. Mm-hmm. So they always want to get higher. And I'm afraid of that. You know what I mean?
Nope. All right. Let's go to this now. There is a total of 319 marijuana dispensaries in Denver, Colorado?
In Denver, Colorado? Okay. Do they supply most of the states, or
is Denver,
it's only in Denver?
No, it's Denver and California.
And they supply
they're the biggest suppliers.
Okay. So they're basically the, but how do they get it across state lines? Is that a part of those six licenses that they have to have?
That six licenses was just strictly on Georgia.
Okay, got you.
So California is the highest annual sale volume with 423.1 million. Number of Americans legally employed by cannabis industry, 417,493. So Denver got the most weed dispensaries. And I do know they do have one. There's like three dispensaries that's like a vending machine that's inside the airport.
Where?
In Denver.
But if you can't, If you can't take it over, if you can't take it over state lines,
you got
it
when you land.
So it's on the outside of the.
No, it's on the inside terminal. Okay. When you're coming out, you got the dispensaries, or the vending machines right there.
Well, some of our favorite, some of our favorite hip hop artists and entertainers have explored the business of cannabis. Of course, we know Snoop Dogg.
Snoop.
That's inevitable.
Mike Tyson.
Right.
Two times for Big Gip.
Right. And hey, rest in peace, Rico Wade, Dungeon Family.
R.I.P. Right. Dungeon Family. I think Wiz Khalifa got one too.
Of course. Well, those are the ones that we are most familiar with because they're very active on social platforms, talking about their experience with that particular business.
Oh, Seth Rogen got one.
Oh, you mean the
actor.
The Jewish guy?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi? Wow, okay.
Nelson, Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson,
oh. Oh, I forgot about Cheech and Chong.
That's inevitable.
Jimmy Belushi.
Right. Lil Wayne.
Method Man, Al Harrington.
The Game.
They say Ice Cube got one, but I don't believe it.
Quite a few people. Jim Belushi. You said that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you did.
They said Jaleel White got one, too.
Word? Urkel?
Yeah, Urkel. And your boy Raekwon. They said Raekwon got one, too.
Okay, that's what's up. So basically, The Game, Whoopi Goldberg.
There's 18 black celebrities involved in cannabis.
Woody Harrelson, Jay-Z, Kourtney Kardashian, John Legend, Gwyneth Paltrow, B-Real.
Your girl Erykah Badu is part of the 18.
Martha Stewart.
I should have known Jay-Z had his hand in it.
So Ricky Wilson, Williams.
Two Chainz.
These are the artists that have invested in the cannabis industry and invested in the cannabis industry in some form or another, whether they've gotten strains or they have dispensaries or they're working with particular brands with collaborations, right? Mm-hmm. But the industry in this crazy because, I mean, really and truly, it ain't like we're doing something new. A lot of time, it ain't like we... Like, I could see Seth Rogen having been one of those kids that used to be like, hey, I got a dime bag in it. Like, I can see that. You know what I mean? That, so when I was looking at the names, like, I could believe that. Like, Whoopi, I know for sure in the 70s and the 60s, Whoopi was blazing it. So yeah. I could see her taking an investment in those things.
I'm still tripping off Urkel.
Well,
he said the name of his brand is called Purple Urkel.
I can see that. He definitely capitalized off of the name.
Yeah, he did. But I can't. Your boy Isaiah Thomas is inside this too, and I can't picture him being a smoker.
You don't have to be a smoker to sell cannabis.
But he's the CEO of One World Pharma.
You don't have to be a smoker. Like my homegirl Tina P, she has a THC brand.
Oh dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you know she has a THC brand, and she doesn't smoke at all.
Yeah, she got in when she fed in, huh?
Yeah, you know. So
I don't blame her.
If there's an opportunity to diversify your portfolio, and it's something that is going to make a return on the investment, why not? 420, April 20th, let us know what events you're popping up at, where you're going to be, how you're celebrating 420, and go ahead and check out the mixes and music that we have here on the network as we get ready to pass one. All right? It's been Africa Out Loud. It's been good having this conversation. Again, if you are going to indulge, make sure that you know the laws in your state so that you can protect yourself legally.
And be inside. Don't be outside.
With that said, thank you and goodbye.
Holla at y'all.